Josh Duggar of 19 Kids and Counting caught using the dark web for his child porn fantasies. And a Methodist church in Illinois uses their worship service to celebrate Drag Queen Sunday. Stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 5:11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, we have a number of disturbing topics. So I want to just get this out right in the beginning. This is one I want to say that viewer discretion is certainly advised. The things we're going to be talking about today may not be appropriate for every young kid to be listening to, because we are talking about some serious, serious sin. And it is really, really important that we do point these things out. And once again, I hope that we can be somewhat of filling in the gap for you when it comes to how we can speak to these things properly so people have a better understanding, whether it's at your workplace or so forth, a better understanding of when these things come up in the news, how do we give answers to them? And when these things are popularized and so forth, how can we best, by way of the scriptures, examine everything that is happening in this world and make sure that our worldview is seen with the lenses of God's word through God's heart and his eyes. So what we're going to do here is look at something that has been going on for quite often, a horrible path that has led down to grievous and disgusting, just reprehensible sin on the part of Mr. Josh Duggar. And I want to say this from the outset, my heart breaks. This is hard to even think about, hard to talk about. In the morning before we recorded this show, I sent the topic at hand to Josh, not Josh Duggar, but Josh, our editor here. And I said, hey, here are the topics I'm going to be discussing. And he said, man, that just ruined my morning. We're having to read some of this stuff. And it's true. It really does. It really hurts your heart having to talk about these things, but they will be brought up to you. So you need to be ready to have a defense for the hope that's in you. And also when people say, this is what Christianity does, this is what people do when they're Christians, you need to say, no, this is not what people do when they're Christians. This is the suppression of truth and unrighteousness. This is somebody who has been given over to the depravity of their mind to do that which is just absolutely not only profane, but unnatural. This is disgusting. This is grotesque. And we do need to be able to talk about it. And so that's what we're going to do. And I think this all comes down to the very same thing. I just can't imagine anyone on this planet trying to fight against sin apart from the Holy Spirit. And imagine trying to do that when you know the truth and are not truly abiding in Christ. And by the way, I can say this without a doubt, because the scriptures are very clear that those who love Christ, those who truly know him, they bear the fruit of a believer. Those with the Holy Spirit, guess what? Have the marks of the Holy Spirit, have the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I will have to say that when you come to the place where you have seared your conscience as with a hot iron to the point that child porn is now the thing that you want to watch, grievous, disgusting wickedness, I'm sorry, that's not the heart of a regenerate believer. That's just absolutely not. And this man, Josh Duggar, he needs salvation. He needs to truly know Christ. And by the way, this has been the pattern of his life. In fact, when he was much younger, in his teens, he actually molested his own sisters. And that was a report that came out, and I think it even came out unlawfully because he was a minor and the report came out and so forth. But nonetheless, the sisters, even some of the sisters even came out and said, yeah, I was one of the victims. And in fact, thanks for bringing this out because now I'm being victimized again because this is something that I had, you know, prayed about and been done with. And now you're bringing it back up all these years later. And so there was some things that happened and I feel bad and feel terrible for them. And if you guys don't know anything about the show, 19 Kids and Counting, it is, and I got to say this before we even get into anything, when it comes to the world and their TV and their shows and so forth, I just cannot imagine as they're ever going to paint Christians in a good light if they, I mean, they're of the prince of the power of the air. They're working as sons of disobedience and they're of him. So I can't imagine that we think, you know what, this is what we'll do. We'll use Hollywood and Hollywood will accept us and then we'll be able to get out the gospel this way. They're not going to look at you like a freak show or anything, which is exactly what took place. And when it comes to 19 Kids and Counting, Josh is the oldest of the children there. And as I said, it is a sad reflection of what seems to be somebody who has maybe never been regenerate, maybe never really had a true relationship with Christ. And because of that, he's fought against these wicked temptations and they've brought him to a place that now he is not only molesting little girls as a teenager, he's not only as he was caught on Ashley Madison, he's not only, you know, hooking up with women and so forth that aren't his wife, all of these things that have come out. Now he's come to the place where he's literally gone to child pornography. In fact, his wife, and we've actually talked about the service that you can use if you're struggling with pornography. And we did a five-part series on pornography. And you guys can check that out on the Good Fight Ministries YouTube channel. I encourage you, if you're struggling, you know someone's struggling, I'm going to have Josh put the link in the description to the entire series. It is a very, very, very important series for you to check out. And one of the ministries that we talk about in that series is Covenant Eyes, which is something you can put and connect to all of your browsers and so forth that would hinder you from being able to go on and look up pornographic material on your computers and devices and so forth. And apparently, Josh Duggar's wife, Anna, actually had him on that. They had their devices on there. And here's what it says. This is on dailymail.com. It says, Josh Duggar's computer was equipped with a dark web browser that could have let him anonymously search for child porn. A court heard ahead of his release today on bail. The Tor browser would have allowed the reality star, 33, to bypass anti-porn software dubbed Covenant Eyes, which his wife Anna installed to monitor what her husband downloaded. Now, isn't that heartbreaking? And by the way, Josh has now 7 children. They're now pregnant with, I believe they just announced another daughter. Now 7 children with his wife Anna. And I'm sorry, if I'm Anna, that man doesn't come anywhere near my children, especially after what they found on his computer. The fact that he was still doing things that are seemingly in line with what is called the Quiver Full movement, making sure that he's not refraining whatsoever when it comes to his relationship with his wife, not hindering having babies whatsoever with her. He's still doing these religious acts, just like he was doing back in 2015 until he got caught for some of the wicked things that he was involved in. You know, he was on the Family Research Council until he had to step down when the publicity came out concerning some of the molestation he was involved in. And then the fact that he was on Ashley Madison not long after, he had spent almost $1,000 to have that software on his computer so he could find women that he could cheat on his wife with. All of these things, he's practicing these religious habits, right? Still being involved in making sure he's not using any contraceptive when it comes to sleeping with his wife. But yet while he's doing these religious acts, very similar to what the Pharisees would do, while he's doing these religious acts, he's still doing these very, very wicked things. And this is what happens with sin. And this should be a warning to all believers about letting sin creep its ugly head into your door. And I tell this story, and I've used it a lot, and it's from Randy Alcorn's book, The Purity Principle. And it's actually in our series on pornography, and specifically on the video, How Porn is the New Norm. And I quote this from Randy Alcorn's Purity Principle. He talks specifically about a man who committed adultery and was mad at God because he committed adultery with a coworker. And on page 9 of the Purity Principle, he talks about how he's mad because he committed this adulterous act. But in fact, when it came to the adulterous act, he had good intentions going into it. I just wanted to have lunch. I just want to have a friend and so forth. And next thing you know, I cheated on my wife with my coworker of the opposite sex because he didn't put the proper provisions in the way to stop him from doing such an act. He allowed his heart. He didn't guard his heart, as Proverbs tells us to. And then he fell into this adulterous sin. And this is exactly what happens. And that man, it's a horrible story. It's a terrible story to read about. But that man in that story ended up molesting his own daughters. Eventually, went from cheating on his wife to molesting his own daughter and was in prison for it. This is what happened. Sin begets sin. It gives birth to sin. The more and more those little foxes that you allow in ruin the garden. That's what happened here with this man that Randy Alcorn talks about. And obviously, when it comes to Josh Duggar, this is what's happened with him. Imagine, once again, fighting against sin without the Holy Spirit, especially if you know what the truth is and you're unwilling to come to it. And here's one of the things. This is why Jesus was so clear concerning specifically sexual sin, looking at a woman with lust. He says, cut off your hand, pluck out your eye. All right, not literally. What he's talking about is do whatever you can to fight against that thing which wages war against your soul. We are supposed to rely completely on the Holy Spirit. And guess what? In obedience, we say, guess what? Computers, I don't care what it is. There is nothing more important than where you spend eternity. Absolutely nothing. Throw out every device. Find a job in the woods. I don't care. You don't want to let yourself get to a place where sin reigns over your body. You're given over to it. And now you have become the very wicked thing that you were warned about. I think of the old proverbial, and I remember hearing this story a long time ago, and I was sharing with someone who specifically was like, well, you know, teetering on, let's talk about the gray areas, and maybe I can do this sin. And instead of saying, wait, I want to flee sexual sin, I want to flee sin, I want to get as close to the cross as I can, I want to get as close to my Savior as I can, you know, he was like, what can I do this? Am I allowed to do this? And so forth. And it's like, hey, you know, I remember the story of, you know, a snake and a man going up a hill. And a snake is there at the bottom of the hill, and the man walks up to him. And the snake says to him, will you please, I'm so tired, I can't make it up this hill. Can I please come with you? And he's like, what are you talking about? You're a snake. I would never let you come with me. You'll bite me and I'll be poisoned and I'll die. I would never let you come with me. He's like, but I'm so tired. Please, can I just go up with you? I'm so tired. Let me just wrap around your arm and go up the hill. With much pleading back and forth and back and forth, he finally says, all right, I'll let you on. And he takes the snake and he begins walking. And next thing you know, he's bit into. And the poison starts setting in. He goes, why? Why would you do this to me? And the snake looks at him and says, you knew what I was before you let me on your arm and before you carried me with you. And I think that is the case when it comes to sin. If you know what it is before you let it in the door, don't let it in the door. Shut that door by the way of the Holy Spirit. Grow in sanctification. I think a lot about not only Romans 7 and Romans 8, right? Romans 7, it is over and over again, a chapter of defeat, right? And I point to this a lot in this show because I think that a misunderstanding of Romans 7 has taught far too many people that the life of the Christian is one of defeat rather than victory in Christ, right? There is the stumbling that we could talk about. We're not talking about perfectionism here. What we're talking about is a narrative of your life that is different than defeat. The narrative of the Christian is one of victory over and over again, not the one of defeat, where you live in the mire, where you live in the dunghill. No, we now have the Holy Spirit inside of us. As Jesus promised from chapter 14 to 16, that the Holy Spirit would come, convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. He told his very disciples that the Holy Spirit is with you, but he will be in you. In the new covenant, we have the seal of the Holy Spirit. These are all things that are so awesome for us to see. But check out the difference when we read. I want to put these texts juxtaposed to one another, because I think it's really interesting when we think about this. In Romans chapter 7, verse 16 and 17, it says this: "But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me." This is a man completely overtaken by sin, and I would argue that this is Paul pre-conversion. And tell me, if when you look at that and hear the words of that scripture, if they do not sound the exact opposite of Paul's very words from Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." In the very same chapter, in chapter 7, when it talks about who will free him from this body of death, it's to Jesus Christ, the one who frees us. It is with that power. I want to put a couple other ones to you. Romans chapter 7, verse 23. "But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members." But what happens when we get to Romans 8? What happens when we get to Romans 8? "However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him." You see, as believers, we need to live a Trinitarian lifestyle. And I say that by way of we look to, and this is not the only way we look to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but a lot of times this is just practically how I like to live out my life. It's when it comes to, I think of the Father, I am praying to the Father in obedience, in awe, in thankfulness for sending his Son, and in the fear of the Lord. Obviously, I also fear the Holy Spirit, right? Look in Acts right away, you have a husband and wife dead because they lied to God. They lied to the Holy Spirit. We need to make sure of that, all right? And also when it comes to Jesus himself, if he came with all his glory, you'd be torched. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. That doesn't just include the believers, but after the judgment, even the non-believers, right, will have to bow down. That's how awesome he is. But then I think about Jesus himself, with Christ living in me, that I live a lifestyle where I live in love with Jesus. And I love him enough to say, I am not going to go back over and over again to the sin you saved me from. I live in love with my Christ and I bear my cross daily. Josh Duggar, please. And if it's in prison, oh well. Find a living and loving relationship with Jesus Christ, because all anecdotal and having a list of sins that you're like, well, I'm trying my best here. I'm not using contraceptive. I'm just looking at child porn. That's not a relationship, a loving relationship with Jesus Christ. That's not what it is. That's not what we see in the New Testament. That's not Christ living in us. We need him. And also by way of the Holy Spirit, guys, when I say live a Trinitarian lifestyle, live a life in victory of the Holy Spirit that puts to death the deeds of the body. Live a life when it comes to your walk with Christ by the Holy Spirit, by the written word of God, that sanctification that he brings. What is God's will for your life? Your sanctification. That you would flee sexual immorality. That's God's will for your life. Let's live a life of victory. I want to live a life of victory to my God. That God, you won the victory on the cross. We are not a bunch of defeated foes. Satan is the defeated foe, and we can walk in victory when we rely on him. It was Jesus who said in John chapter 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. We rely on him. When it comes to spiritual warfare, when Satan is throwing his darts and the things that he's doing towards you, when he's using his minions and so forth, the sons of disobedience who do not know God, the first thing you do before you put on even the armor of God, the one that he gives you, the first thing you do is fall under the mighty hand of God. We need to recognize how we can't even bring up a railing accusation against Satan, but rather say the Lord rebuke you. If that's the Archangel Michael, and remember, when we look at Philippians chapter 2, and it talks about Jesus lowering himself, making himself a little lower than the angels, guess where we are? A little lower than the angels. And one day we will judge angels, the Bible says. But it's something to think about. And we recognize that I want to live a life of victory, and that comes by knowing God's word. Psalm chapter 1 is one of the best scriptures on this concerning the man who meditates on God's word day and night. And guess what? He gets root. He's like a tree planted against the water that bears fruit in its season. The one who doesn't, who sits with mockers, you, all your best friends are non-believers. All the people you hang around are non-believers. You're not in God's word. How are you ever going to have victory? You're not, if that is what you're doing. If you're joking and coarse jesting and so forth. We want to have victory, right? And guess what? That man is broken off according to Psalm 1. The one who doesn't meditate on God's word day and night, the one who's not in, who's in fellowship with non-believers, with scoffers, that person's like the little bark that blows when the wind comes. All right, blows away. So we have to think about this. We need to meditate on God's word. Have it written in your heart so you don't sin against him. Make sure the things that you're putting before your eyes are not darkness, so that inside of you doesn't become darkness. These are really, really important things. And I think about these stories, and they're hard to even talk about, in all honesty. They're hard to read about. It's hard to think of somebody with seven children literally going around and finding dark web. I mean, who are you talking to that you get to a place where you find software that, because if you're searching it and you're on Covenant Eyes searching that, your wife's going to get some emails saying, hey, you shouldn't be looking at that, right? So who on earth, I want to know the you know, Satan's minions that are helping him find, you know, the dark web and so forth so that he can sneak around and look at child pornography. It's heartbreaking. But guys, this is what happens when someone is given over to the depravity of their mind. One of the things I'm always concerned about is the hardness of heart of an apostate, is the status where someone is when they've grown up in the faith and so forth and they reject it, the evil things that they can do. It honestly, I think about that and it hurts my heart when you can know the truth and reject it. And you continue to do that by allowing these sins into your life. You continue to do that by watching pornography or whatever it may be. Guys, we have a life more abundant. Let's live it in Christ. I just want to encourage you in that before we talk about this last story, because this one is just as frustrating. It, sadly, though, I will tell you this, it's par for the course for many of, I know there's a big split and so forth, but many of the leadership there, when it comes to the United Methodist Church, obviously it's come a long ways from the Methodism that John Wesley espoused. I could not imagine John Wesley when it comes to looking at Hope United Methodist Church in Bloomington, Illinois. And by the way, I clicked on and took a little view of their worship service, which was right after Resurrection Sunday. And you had a bunch of men dressed up as women. Deuteronomy 22:5 is really clear. That's abominable. The Bible is really clear. It's an abomination. This is not pleasing in the sight of God. The service is a woman and a homosexual man talking back and forth. The worship at first is a very feminine man who then has some really, I mean, it's horrible to listen to, but the music is playing and all of a sudden the same man is in this corner, and in this corner he's dressed as a woman. There's multiple drag queens and so forth. This is disgusting, and it hurts my heart because I feel so bad for somebody who would live a lie this way. I feel so sad for someone that would do this acting as though it's in service to God. This is not the God of the scriptures. This is not the God of the Bible. It's not the Jesus that died on the cross. The spirit of Christ, all of these things, this is not it. This is so wrong, and it all comes back down to not adhering to what the scriptures say concerning your leadership roles, 1 Timothy 2 and 3, Titus 1, 5 through 9, and so forth, when it comes to what church leadership is supposed to look like, and when it doesn't adhere to the scriptures, the horrible, wicked ways that come about, I think this is just a excellent display of that. When it talks about in 1 Corinthians 14, the shameful practices that some may be when it comes to them coming together as a church. And I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 5 specifically when it comes to this, because their boasting is not good. If you remember 1 Corinthians 5 about sexual sin specifically, but sin as a whole, they're boasting about it. Isn't it great they're still coming to church? Well, isn't it great that you have allowed them to think that they have salvation when they do not? And instead of encouraging someone who may be deceived in this way, they call themselves a church. They're anything but. I don't know how someone could attend these things, but it hurts my heart. It's nothing, nothing even in a resemblance of the gospel. It's people literally boasting in their sin, walking in it, and other people calling that love. And this is what happens when you don't have a proper definition of love. And it all comes back to not having a proper definition of who God is. And I just want to encourage you guys, when it comes to these stories, don't let your heart grow weary. The Bible is really clear that when it comes to the end times, when it comes to these perilous times that will come, one of the things that happens, lawlessness increases. And it says, the love of many will grow cold. That's not what we want. We don't want our hearts to wax cold towards even these reprobates, people that have fallen into this wicked sin. We want to make sure that we still love them and not let your heart grow cold. I could say that 50 times because we want to see them ultimately turn, come to Christ, and live a life that's truly more abundant. No one lives a life abundantly as they live in sin. No one lives a life abundantly as they live a lie. We get to have Christ, walk in him, and also with the Holy Spirit, have the strength to fight a fight, the good fight of faith. And the fact is that the Holy Spirit, by way of the Word of God, grows us in sanctification so that every day, instead of becoming more and more like the world, like these churches, like these people become, we become more and more like Jesus Christ. And I praise God for that. This has been Chad Davidson, and this is the 511 News.
The 511 News with Chad Davidson has been brought to you by Good Fight Ministries, bringing you news and commentary from a Christian perspective. This show can be heard every Friday wherever podcast shows are available, or visit 511news.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you next week on the 511 News.